Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman, and welcome to What Women Must Know. This is a show empowering you with truthful information so you can make the most informed decisions possible regarding your health and well-being. And as always, it's great having you on this journey with me because we have a chance to have in-depth conversations with such inspiring people that are offering us profound wisdom, solutions to improve and optimize our health, and really be able to navigate through these times so we truly can make those informed decisions for ourselves and our family and our community. I want to welcome you if you're listening for the very first time. I hope you'll be joining me every week on What Women Must Know. And if you'd like to get the archive shows, you just need to go to my Facebook page, which is What Women Must Know, or you can opt into my website and my newsletter there, which is drcherylselman.com, and I'll send the archive shows to you every week along with all sorts of other great information. And by the way, I have a second program on Progressive Radio Network called The Love Code, and that is a program that is really dedicated to the spirit and to opening ourselves to love, to the power that we have within us to heal and transform. And I hope you'll be listening in. And if you opt into What Women Must Know, like my Facebook page or my website, then you'll be getting that show as well every week. So lots of great opportunities to be inspired, transformed, and finding the path to true healing for yourself. So I'm going to just jump into my conversation today, and I just want to say that I am just so excited, I guess is the best way to say it, to have as my guest today, Dr. Isaac Elias. We're talking about reversing the hidden cause of aging and chronic disease, and I'm so glad you are all listening in because this is a profound show with the knowledge and information that will have a direct impact on your health and well-being. So let me just introduce my guest to you and tell you a little bit about him. Dr. Isaac Elias is an integrative physician, licensed acupuncturist, researcher, author, formulator, and frequent guest. He has been a pioneer in integrative medicine research since the early 1980s with numerous peer-reviewed publications substantiating his innovative protocols. Dr. Elias is founder and medical director of Amitabha Medical Clinic in Santa Rosa, California, an integrative health center specializing in cancer, immune function, and inflammatory conditions. He is regarded as a leading expert in the field of galactitree research, and his book, The Survival Paradox, Reversing the Hidden Cause of Aging and Chronic Disease, has just been released. So it's my great pleasure to welcome Dr. Isaac Elias to the show today. So, Isaac, thank you for being here. I'm so happy to have you on the show.
Yeah, thank you so much. I'm so happy to be with you in this hour and talk together about the survival paradox. Thank you for inviting me.
So, you are so welcome. And, you know, as I said in the beginning, I truly am thrilled to have you on the show. And I mentioned to you before we got on air that I have known of your work. I have heard of Galactin 3. I've even had a bottle of modified citrus pectin sitting in my cabinet, but I have never truly understood how profound the work is that you've been doing. And that's why I am particularly excited, because this is a game changer. What you are doing and the research and the solution you have found is a true game changer for people's health and well-being. And that's why we are here having this conversation and need to get this important message out. So what I just want to start off by saying is thank you for the work you've been doing all these years, Isaac. You've been a true pioneer. And congratulations on this book, which really explains in such great clarity the importance of what we're going to be talking about today. So that's so I just had to share that with you because I think this
Thank
is a really profound conversation. And what you're doing is truly changing people's lives. So having said that, let's just jump into this conversation about the survival paradox. And we have lots of time to get into this in a lot of depth because this is truly important information. So, okay, Isaac, I want to start off by just asking you right off, what is the survival paradox? What do you mean when you say survival paradox?
The survival paradox is a new paradigm that brings to our awareness, to our understanding, and later on his practical application, the fact that we all know that we have this innate survival drive within us. We are wired, we are built innately, really from beginning of time, to survive. And we have different mechanisms in the body that help us to survive. The same mechanism that drives our survival is the mechanism that causes us pain, suffering, discomfort, stress, acute diseases, chronic diseases, a shorter life, and affects almost every chronic disease. And this is a real paradox. Is the same thing that we need to survive is the same thing that gets us sick. And what the book does, it really introduces the survival paradox in depth on all levels of our existence, on the physical level, on the emotional, psychological, mental, and spiritual level. And it shows us how this affects us, every organ in our body, every system, and then most important, how we can change it and how we can transform it, how we can heal. And that really is the power of understanding and transforming the survival paradox.
So can we just dive in a little deeper, Isaac? Yeah, so we can understand Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, so really, I think in medicine in general, definitely in integrative medicine, but now I think with the COVID and the pandemic and the cytokine storm, our response to the viral infection, it really is what causes us to be sick, this uncontrolled inflammatory response, we are more aware of inflammation as a driving force of disease. And in my work, in my research, in the way I approach health and disease, I've been aware of the cytokine storm for decades. So there is a certain awareness of inflammation on a chronic basis or when it's unregulated as a driving force of aggravation of acute diseases, COVID being a great example, chronic illness, and death. But we seldom take the time to step back and say, is inflammation really the cause? And when we look at it, we will recognize inflammation is a response, is the body's response. So what causes inflammation? That's what we are interested in. What causes inflammation is our survival response. At the time of danger, at the time of attack, at the time of injury, the body wants to survive. The body wants to repair. It responds with inflammation. So when we face a threat, when we face danger, we have an immediate, innate, uncontrolled response through the autonomic nervous system, through the nervous system that we cannot control. Through the sympathetic nervous system, our pulse goes up, our breath goes up, our blood, goes into the muscles, and we are ready to either fight or flight or run away. And the third strategy that we can do is we can try to isolate and shield ourselves. So these are survival responses. On the immediate level, we are aware of it. On the immediate level, we all experience it every day. The sympathetic system goes into a drive, stress drive. And then we are built to let go through the parasympathetic system, through relaxing it. But we know very well if we are too much on the sympathetic side, it will affect our nervous system, it will affect our blood pressure, it will affect our hormonal, our neuroendocrine system, with cortisol going up, adrenaline, epinephrine, norepinephrine, then glucagon affected and insulin, and the whole degradation of the body. So we have this nervous system response that turns on in seconds but can turn off very quickly. But the second system, which is more sustainable, and brings more deeper changes in the body is our biochemical system. And the biochemical system is sounding the alarm. And the body is equipped with alarm proteins called alarmins that set off the alarm. And the master protein, which I've been involved with research for over 25 years and made most of the key discoveries that it drives inflammation, fibrosis, is called galactin 3. And I developed the first galactin 3 inhibitor, pectosol modified citrus pectin, that you were referring to. So we have this biochemical response, and when we started the journey with it, we thought that galactin 3 is mainly involved with cancer and cancer metastasis. We were not aware of the immediate alarming response. So what happens, it's great when you have the alarm, but imagine what happens if the alarm doesn't turn off. And what happens with galactin 3, it doesn't turn off. And when it doesn't turn off, we get in real trouble because we set our body on fire. And right now, so relevant, that's why people with COVID who get extreme inflammation and get acute kidney injury and then 50% mortality. And so the same process that was supposed to turn on but immediately turn off doesn't turn off. And this is a paradox. The same process that needs to respond for a very short time keeps on responding and actually causes shortening of our life, destruction. And if we look at the role of galactin 3, it's involved in every disease, in every organ system. If you look, for example, at publication on pectosol, there are over 70 publications, you'll see, wow, kidneys, liver, lungs, circulation, immunity, cancer. How can one protein get involved in so many conditions? And when I came to this recognition early on and in a clearer way in the last few years, I realized, wow, it's our master survival protein. And what happened is this protein is unique because it's really like a carrier. It has a certain receptor that are called carbohydrate recognition domain that binds to different carbohydrates, different sugars. And proteins can have sugars on their end, protein glycans, and glycolipids, and just short sugars in the body. And it delivers all these inflammatory compound growth factors to different tissues. So galactin 3 gets mobilized in minutes and brings the damaging molecules into the tissue and causes damage. It also wants to protect us by shielding us. And we create a shield by creating isolation. This isolation, what we call lattice formation, when many galactin 3 create pentamers and create coating, is also popularly often referred to as biofilms. And in one level, but these shields create microenvironment. And the microenvironment allows a certain part of the body to be isolated, but then it's a double-edged sword. We no longer have control over this area. So metabolism changes there, and it's a very good place for infections to grow, for abnormal cells to grow, because we don't have control. So cancer will often grow in these microenvironments. There's this tissue we don't control anymore. And then we wake up one day and suddenly we have cancer. It really didn't happen in one day. We lost the ability to see it. The immune system cannot recognize it. So in the book I explain what it is, how it works, how it drives inflammation and fibrosis, and most important, how to change it. So far I've explained more the biochemical level of changing it. But there are other lifestyle and emotional and psychological and meditative ways to change it.
Well, so galactin, so let's just, you know, abbreviate what you're saying. So galactin 3 is a protein that has huge impact in communicating to the body in many ways. Here's a question I have. What has taken so long for medicine to understand the role of this protein that has huge impact on generating, uncontrolled inflammatory response. The fact that it's involved in creating these biofilms, which is such a problem because it hides all the bacteria and viruses and all these other microorganisms in a protective shield that we can't get to. What's taken so long for us to recognize this role of galactin 3?
You know, Cheryl, it's a great question. And I think that we recognize it in a limited way. There are different galactins. Galactin 3 is the most popular one, and most researched one, and most important one. What happened is we like, in especially in Western medicine, where it's based on what we see and what we experience, we go from the surface into the depth, right? In pathology, we want to see changes in the tissue, changes in the blood, and we try to fixate them while the tissue already changed and it's different. And we lack the ability to philosophically look deeper. So we look at inflammatory compound, and we look at cytokines and interleukin 6 and interleukin 1-1b. And now finally we are starting to look deeper and deeper and recognize galactin 3. But when we looked at galactin 3, initially people thought, it's just a marker. But now there are dozens of papers in different conditions showing that it's a causative factor. And it took us time to recognize the depth of it, but even now, I want to emphasize it. Now there is researchers more and more interested in pharma in galactin 3, but even now it's still isolated to a condition. We, in a culture that looks at details and lacks the interest to step back and see the big picture, it's hard to see the big picture. You know, it's really, you have to train yourself to see the big picture. And to see the big picture, and it relates a little bit to what we're talking about, your other program, to see the big picture, we have to step out of our conceptual mind. We have to step away from our pinpoint linear experience of a linear thought and just relax and open our hearts and open our minds. And then suddenly we start seeing things in different dimensions. And it takes a little bit of this way of being trained to look at things to be able to make these observations. You know, often people ask me, how did you make this observation, you know, and 500 scientists in a pharmaceutical company didn't make it? And my answer is usually, look, these people are very bright. Many of them are brighter than me. They're just trained in the same way. So you have 500 people who are thinking in the same way. It's when we step away and don't have preconceived ideas, when we recognize it, because everything is changeable, anything and everything is possible. That's, per definition, the ultimate truth. Nothing stays the same. And when we recognize it, we recognize that everything is possible. And this allows us to see things that we will not see when our mind is contracted. And this level of understanding is a true medicine for the survival paradox. Because the one question that I touch towards the end of the book and start and give some advice on how to start visiting it and diving into it is, what causes a survival response, right? Now that's a deep, deep philosophical question. And what causes a survival response is our inability to let go, our inability to recognize and accept that everything is impermanent. Anything that arises will fall away. Anything that is born will die. A thought will come up and go away in a moment. A life will take 70, 80, 90, 100, 120 years. This planet will take, you know, billions of years. But eventually everything that comes together falls apart. It's resisting this that shortens our life. It's resisting this that causes the friction and the fight and the inflammation. So the more we can come to life and experience life understanding it, we will still survive. We will still use our survival tools. But they will come from a different place in our being, in our mind, in our physiology, and it will be driven by different organs in our body. And as a result, there will be hormonal changes and circulatory changes and immune changes. And that's why this is such a profound concept.
Well, it is a profound concept, and I know that you have studied traditional Chinese medicine very deeply and have incorporated into your work, and I actually have studied traditional Chinese medicine, and I essentially use that as the primary paradigm model to help me understand what you're talking about, the connectedness, because we'll just, you know, I just want to say, let's just mention this briefly, because I want to then go into the modified citrus texture that you've developed, but it's like the journey for real healing is to be able to move into a place where we can stay in our center all the time, where we can observe what's going on in our life without getting caught up in all the emotional dramas, which takes practice. And we've got tools, meditative tools, personal development tools. We've got so many resources that are available now, because only when we can create the power within us to stay in our center and come back to our center in a peaceful way of compassion and love can we truly allow the energies of life to move with us in harmony and not get caught in what we were talking about, the survival paradox, creating stress, activating the sympathetic nervous system, and then putting chaos into the body.
Yeah, totally. It's you described it very accurately, completely.
Oh, good. Well, so yeah, because that really resonated when you were sharing that model, and when we do that, when we are in that place of connectedness, then we get the inspiration. Our intuition can really come to the fore and guide us through all unknown situations. Right? That's how we ultimately should be navigating through times of change as we are now, or when a crisis comes up in a person's life. So
right.
Let's move into this contribution that you've made with the solution to dealing with this galactin 3, you know, erroneous or you know out of control expression of galactin 3, and I want to start with the conversation you had when you were 12 years old with the friends of the family, the doctors, because that to me was so profound that what happened to you.
It's an amazing thing, yeah. So I'll tell it when you read it. I'm a native of Israel, and I was 12 years old. I just came back from a year and a half in Brazil with my family. And we took an evening walk to our neighbors, Leo and Ruth Cohen, who were PhDs in organic chemistry, and they were the pioneers of the citrus industry in Israel. In the 20th century, including late 20th century, a big part of Israel were actually orchards, citrus orchards. So this was like the key scientist. And Ruth, out of the blue, she turned to me and she told me, Isaac, one day they will find a cure for cancer from the citrus fruit. And for some reason, Cheryl, it got stuck in my mind. And 24 years later, I'm in San Francisco. I finished my Master of Science in Chinese Medicine and a medical doctor. And the first research on using a lab-produced, a very simple modification of pectin, blocking and preventing cancer metastasis, appears in Journal of National Cancer Institute, the number one journal in the world in preclinical studies of cancer. So I call Ruth from San Francisco and I tell her, Ruth, it's Isaac. I don't know if you remember, I don't expect you, but I remember what you told me when I was 12 years old, and I need your help. And she was very kind to put me with some of the most legendary pectin scientists, some that were just before retirement. And they really helped me to develop the right product that can be commercially available. It's called Pectasol. And then I started a journey of research into this product. And initially, the interest in galactin 3 blockers and modified citrus pectin was exclusively in cancer. And I often say, if modified citrus pectin was a drug, it would have been a multi-billion dollar drug, but it was just something a unique modification out of the peel of the citrus fruit. And as I was using it, you know, I was starting to observe all the other benefits. And you know well, being trained in Chinese medicine, we are trained to make observations from a small number of people. So I have my scientist head with double-blind clinical trials and controlled, but in the same time, I make very refined observations. And I started seeing that people's joint pains are getting better and people's memory is improving, blood pressure is going down, and how is this possible? And I connected the dots very early on, late 90s, and made this discovery that it pulls out heavy metals, that it really regulates and stops excessive inflammation and fibrosis, that it supports the immune system because it allows us to respond in a healthy way. And interesting enough, 5 to 15 years later, it started coming to the forefront of medicine. So now Galactin 3 blockers is much bigger than me and my work, and I collaborate with Avram Raz, which was the head of the group who did this very famous original study that was published in 1995. But it's exciting because we are starting to get a sense of the power of addressing Galactin 3, and I really think that modified citrus pectin is really nature's gift to us. You can't take something which is more natural than the pectin from a citrus fruit that has been extracted. And yet it is so powerful. It works in a gentle, powerful way. And so, yeah, I'm so excited about it. And in the same time, I'm already developing other very unique approaches to Galactin 3 that are more in the medical device realm that I'm very, very excited about. If we have a few minutes, maybe I'll talk to them towards the end. But it's something very simple that really addresses such a core issue at its basis. So what we see with modified citrus pectin, it's an ideal supplement to use with other treatments. So in cancer, you can use it for nutritional support if you have surgery, you have chemotherapy, you have hormonal therapy, radiation therapy, post-radiation therapy, and very important with immunotherapy, because it will allow the body to respond better. It will allow the drug to work better. It will allow radiation to work better. And that's one of the uniqueness of modified citrus pectin, that it works on its own, but it's a great adjuvant, and the reason is that it addresses a core issue that affects us adversely in so many ways.
And, I mean, that core issue is that uncontrolled inflammatory response. Well, but, you know, I gather that production of Galactin 3, that biofilm part of it, to me, is really profound, because that is a big problem that it just creates so many frustrating conditions in the body that's hard to get to, right? When the biofilm is created, when this protective covering is created that protects the bacteria and viruses a colony of them from being accessed, that also is a huge issue that hasn't really had a lot of success with traditional treatment.
Yeah, very, very much. And the biofilm itself, we know it is phospholipid, it has heavy metals, but the skeleton of the biofilm is Galactin 3. So this is why, for example, when patients with Lyme disease who have very sensitive digestive system take my modified citrus pectin, they will feel relief very quickly, and they will seldom have a reaction, because we have something that, one, starts to break down the biofilm; two, it's a prebiotic; it enhances the body and pharmaceutical agent's ability to have antimicrobial effect; three, it regulates the immune response, and in the same time, it reduces inflammation and regulates it. So this is why it's so unique. This is why it's so gentle. And the concept of biofilm, we really have to look at it deeper, beyond just a physical structure. If we look at our microbiome, and I have a chapter on it in the book, if we look at our microbiome, we have, people can argue between 50 and 100 trillion guests in our body. If we look at our own body, we have, I don't know why they say, Cheryl, 37 trillion, but that's a number you find in the literature. Let's say 50 trillion cells in our body. 50 trillion, not million times a thousand, is billion times a thousand, it's trillion. Now, people don't recognize how active is a cell. If I asked you, and I didn't know it, I admit until a short time ago, how many reactions a cell has in every second, what would you guess?
Well, I'll tell you what I have read and been told. It's 100,000, but I think you have a different number, right?
It's true. So it's hundreds of thousands to 1 million reactions a second, yes. And we got 1 trillion cells. All these cells have to work together as one system, as one economy, as one being, and that's the power and the magic and the miracle of being alive. And so we have a body that works together. But to work together, we need to have communication. We cannot have isolation. It means that when a cell takes nutrients and excretes toxins into the circulation, because it doesn't need it anymore, the cell has to be considerate of its environment. And so the same thing happened with the microbiome. As long as we are considerate with our microbiome, we eat healthy food that is good for the microbiome. We don't try to harm it. In the same time, the microbiome becomes a very important friend. For example, there are certain chemotherapy drugs that if you take antibiotics, they will not work because we adversely affected the microbiome. We need the microbiome to activate the chemotherapy drugs. Same with immunotherapy. So this is a magical harmony that I talk a lot as part of transforming the survival paradox. If one cell goes into a survival mode and say, I want to survive at any cost, even if I harm my environment, we call this cell a cancer cell. That's what a cancer cell does. Or we call it an autoimmune disease, or aggressive bacteria or infection that starts attacking us. And that's what happens when the body feels stress, when the gut feels stress. For example, if the body is under stress, Borrelia wakes up and starts waking up and replicating and causing symptoms in Lyme disease. So we can see this dialogue, and I really want to emphasize this because it's with the book, that's the damaging effect of a survival state of mind. That's really the paradox. And in the same time, if we have a very aggressive bacteria, yeah, we will need antibiotics. And it's interesting that as long as we keep our boundaries, but we respect the balance in the body, things go well. The same microbiome in the gut, which is benefiting us, if it was in our bloodstream, will have sepsis. So as long as each component knows its role and where it is, and we support each other in an harmonious way, everybody benefits. And we see this concept of the survival paradox in our body, in our organs, in our tissues, in our cells, but we see it in our families, in our communities, in different countries, in different nations, in the earth, in the solar system, in the galaxy, that this principle is present everywhere. So the same thing that can transform the survival paradox will have benefits on so many different levels. You know, if we look at our environmental crisis, global warming, I don't know why they call it climate change, it's global warming, okay? Global warming is inflammation on a global level. So if we look at global warming, when our body, for our body to survive, it needs to release its toxins, what it doesn't want. We exhale carbon dioxide and other molecules, we excrete them in our stool, the urine, to the environment. The environment is generous and loving and supportive enough to accept it and give us clean air. As long as we respect the environment, it will keep on doing it. When the environment starts being unclean, of course it won't work for us on all levels. It's logical. And this is part of understanding the idea of isolation, of biofilm, of separation, compared to being in harmony. And as a side comment, this is why my hobby when I was a child, I was like the youngest beekeeper in Israel at age 12. Now I started keeping bees again, because beehives are an example of selflessness and in a sense of community. And it's so beautiful to watch the bees, how they work and their discipline and their roles. Each bee has a role, and how they support each other. And that's the healing power, you know, of just watching the bees, because they exemplify the same concept of community and harmony that a healthy microbiome does, that a healthy community does, that a healthy body does.
And you know, that's so profound, because when we are in harmony, then all of our organs and systems are working in harmony. And of course, traditional Chinese medicine has that understanding in such a profound way. Everything is related to everything else, right? You're impacting
all the
systems. That's
the beauty of Chinese medicine. So beautiful, yeah.
Exactly. And then when you're under stress, then you go, then the system disconnects, right? And then you've got stress and trauma going on in one organ, and the body shuts down and attacks, you know, through this inflammatory process. So that's the chaos that ensues. And basically, you can see that in our societies right now, too. You know, we're
completely
separated and attacking each other, and it just generates so much more stress and drama.
Of course,
and
we have a societal cytokine storm. So, of course, we're going to have an epidemic of cytokine storms. But I want you to know, we don't have so much time. I want to talk about two very important topics, about the role of traumas and multi-generational healing, and about our heart. And both of these are discussed in depth. The last chapter of the first part, chapter number 6 in the book, is called The Heart of Survival. So if we look at going back to our body and to community and to balance, the innate survival response we now understand is present everywhere, all the way to the cellular level. So a cell wants to get nutrients it needs, and it excretes molecules it doesn't need. It's part of survival. It detoxifies into the outside, into the extracellular space, and it takes nourishment. Same thing happens with an organ and with a tissue. For example, if the kidney doesn't get enough blood, what does it do? Let's say there is renal artery stenosis, so there's not enough blood coming to the kidney. The kidney will excrete different compounds, that renin, angiotensin, that will increase blood pressure. We will increase the blood pressure. What will happen? Will be more damage. The kidney will be further damaged, and the heart will be damaged. What will the kidney do? It will excrete more compound. That's an example of the kidney damages itself because of its survival approach, and the heart. And this we see in every organ. There is one organ in the body that is different. The only organ in the body that is wired and built to take what other organs don't want, take what we excreted. You can say philosophically, spiritually, our suffering, what we don't want, and accept it with love, with no discrimination, is the heart. The heart, for the heart to survive and function, it needs to get dirty blood. So it gets it from all over the body with no discrimination. Doesn't care if it comes from the liver, or comes from the kidneys, or comes from the brain. We connect to the universe through the lungs, to the universe with the lungs, to this endless, and then the heart gives to all organs with no discrimination. The aorta, the main artery in the body, is a rigid artery. It doesn't contract or expand like other smaller arteries that can decide where the blood flows. It gives everywhere. And the first organ that the heart nourishes, once it finishes its work, once it's no longer the heart is a selfless organ. It first does its work to help others. But the first organ it nourishes in order to nourish other organs, and as part of nourishing organs, is it nourishes itself through the coronary arteries. And that's why when we connect with our open heart, this is the place for us to transform the survival paradox. When we connect with our heart, we connect with our infinite healing potential. And why it's infinite? Because as long as the heart is functioning, the blood is flowing. As long as blood is flowing, things are changing. And as long as things are changing, anything and everything is possible. So one of my most favorite sentences in my meditation and healing retreats is, not everybody will be a miracle, but everybody can be a miracle. Mm-hmm. Everyone can be a miracle. And the reason is because everything is changeable. Nothing is fixed. When we fixate in something that is always changeable, this is the root of survival. Survival arises when we fixate and we don't see, recognize, and experience the ever-changing nature of everything. So the heart allows us to do this. And what we ask ourselves is, why we don't do it? We don't do it because we lost the ability to respond to something at the moment without preconceived ideas, without preconceived experiences, without preconceived judgment. And why? Because of our past experience. We have so many things that affected us, that traumatized us, that affect the way that we react, mentally, emotionally, psychologically, and physically. So these traumas are within us, within ourselves. And when we look at ourselves, we realize that our response is a response to endless input. You know, Cheryl, if we look at our body, if we look at time, and we say that every generation is 25 years, and we go back only 1,500 years, and now we are at 60 generation, it's 2 to the 60th power. It's an endless number. So we were made from endless number of people who affected us. We got their strength through the genetic flow, but we also got their scars. But more important than the genetic flow, we got their epigenetic tendencies. That's the beauty, that's the power of multigenerational healing, which I work on through very unique meditation techniques that I got through insights and years of meditation, how to release these. So these are in our body. And the beauty of epigenetic tendencies is that they are changeable. So, you know, in Hebrew, there's a very famous saying that says, "Akol safui v'arashut netuna," which means everything is predictable, but we have the right and the ability to change it. And the predictability is our genetic material. The ability to change its expression is the epigenetic. What gets us locked into our destructive epigenetic patterns is a survival response. If we can melt away the survival paradox, we will connect with our infinite healing potential. And we can do it. To do it, we have to address ourselves on a physical level, and that's lifestyle and sleep and exercise and modified self-respecting. We have to recognize it emotionally, allow things to flow, and we have to recognize it mentally, meditatively, and psycho-spiritually. And this is really the whole package. That's really what transforming the survival paradox really does. And, you know, when I teach retreats of a few days to a large number of people, 200 people, but I just did a two-week retreat in Israel for only 12 people. And it was the level of healing of past traumas and the effect on physical illnesses, and quite a few people had stage 4 cancer, was beyond description. And the reason is, we used any creative tool we could to melt away these damaging imprints. I had 10 different therapists to all my students who studied my approach, which is called open heart medicine, many, many years with me. And it was so profound. But the essence was, when you recognize the survival drive, you recognize the survival paradox, and you melt it away. You melt it away physically by melting the galactin-3, lattice formation using modified cytospectin, and you melt it away in all the other methods. And that's really the, that's why I think this book is important.
Well, you know, I'm listening to you, Isaac, and, you know, it's so deep and so profound what you're saying, and I totally understand the journey, this holistic approach, and I have, I've traveled down that path as well, understanding that in order to heal, that the physical manifestation is an expression of the disharmony that we carry, and it goes all the way back to the unresolved trauma, which is how I started out as a psychotherapist many years ago, working in a mind-body approach, and then went on, became a naturopathic doctor, which has now allowed me to incorporate so much of this understanding, you need, as we move through life, our purpose of life is to integrate physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, and develop this profound connection and awareness and gift to find a purpose. And I don't know if I'm even saying any of this correctly, because it's just so profound what you're doing.
Totally. And you know, it's and there are practical applications. That's the beauty of it. It boils down. So, for example, recognizing that Galactin 3 is so critical and it has an acute setting, I've been working now for almost a decade, a little bit less, on developing a column similar to a dialysis process where I can remove from the blood only Galactin 3. And if I'm successful, you know, it's more of a medical device company, there are professionals dealing with it, but it's my invention, my development. Hopefully it will be in the market in 2-3 years. But it's very relevant for COVID, and it's very relevant for sepsis, which nobody thought that Galactin 3 would be relevant in such an acute condition. And we finally just were able to do an animal study, and we showed that the animals that got the Galactin 3 apheresis, none of them died. None of them died. It's insane, because we stopped the destructive process. So, yeah, there is a lot of ramifications. And for me, I feel privileged and grateful and honored to come to this from two different journeys. One journey is being an avid meditator that spent 10 years doing half-day meditation and 20 years, 2 months away, a year in the mountains, and discovering the letting go from a spiritual point of view, from an emotional, psycho-spiritual point of view, and then discovering in the same time from a research, biochemical point of view, you know, body-mind, and putting them together. And the survival paradox is a simple terminology where I package the whole understanding.
You have such a destiny, really, that you are fulfilling from the time you were 12 when that comment was made about finding this cure for cancer through the citrus pectin world, and this whole profound integrative process that you personally have been on, and has given you the insight and the intuition to follow this path that is unfolding. It's quite remarkable, Isaac, the journey you've been on and the contribution that you are making. And I want to be sure that people really understand that what we're discussing here, with this understanding that this protein, Galactin 3, has such a place and a role, has had a role to play in generating all the chronic illnesses that we're dealing with, from cancer, and in your book you talk about heart and kidney diseases and liver and lung diseases and metabolic issues and neurodegenerative issues and immune system issues and even the microbiome. I mean, all the key systems, organ systems of the body are affected by Galactin 3 and can therefore be benefited by taking, on a physical level, if we're just talking about the key substance, this pectisol that you've developed, and it's a unique, right, modified citrus pectin that you have is unique. And I think
all
that's
the research,
important to mention.
When we say modified citrus pectin, all the research is on pectisol, all the over 70 published papers, yeah.
So you want that form of it, not other forms of modified citrus pectin that might be out in the market. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's very correct. Borrowed science is always an issue, but it's part of life, definitely.
Yeah, yeah. Well, just people need to be aware. Get the proven solution. Because people who are listening, you know, this is a gift that you're giving us. You're giving us a key to our health to deal with all these chronic conditions. That I really need to have you back, Isaac, because we haven't gotten into understanding all of the benefit on the physiological level. There's so much to be said, and the journey is huge, right? On physical, emotional, mental, spiritual.
Yeah, I'll be happy. I'll be happy to come back. And for people who are listening, they can go to the survivalparadox.com and we'll join our community, and I will be offering more lectures and seminars and retreats. So people can really experience, you know, it's remarkable how in a few days when you go on a retreat and you change the environment and the food, and it's remarkable the changes people can really go through. It's mind-blowing.
It is. And this is particularly relevant in our present time concern over COVID and the side of the storm, the inflammatory storm, cytokine storm that people are concerned about. Again, there's a role for the pectisol in helping people deal with this, right? This is something that
The cytokine storm is driven by galactin 3. So addressing galactin 3 is very important. We know there are a number of published papers that the level of galactin 3 at time of admission to a hospital will have an effect on how sick the patient will get and who will die, definitely.
So something that people really want to be taking, should we be taking this on a daily basis?
Yeah, modified citrus pectin is, in my opinion, and it wasn't like this 10 years ago until everything unfolded, because one of what's important for me, I really, even if I developed something, doesn't mean that everybody needs to take it, including my patient. But now it's the number one supplement I give everyone, and I never skip it, because it addresses a basic mechanism that drives our aging and chronic diseases. So there is always a role for modified citrus pectin in your daily program. And for people who have concern, they really have to take 15 grams a day. You can take 7.5 grams twice a day or 5 grams three times a day. I now recommend more 7.5 twice because it's easier. And we have it in powder and flavored powder and capsules. But it's really a daily supplement that you take. And people who are younger, you know, and healthier, not too many of these, then you can take a lower dose, 10 grams or 5 grams, if you are really healthy. But it really needs to be part of our daily program. The longer you take it, the greater the benefit, which is really neat.
As you're talking, in traditional Chinese medicine, they say aging is when yang overtakes yin. So you tend to, aging is an inflammatory condition that you are generating.
Exactly.
So it makes, right? So it makes sense that you take this a modified citrus pectin and reduce the galactin 3, you would be supporting longevity.
Yeah, if you look at levels of galactin 3 in centenarians compared to people who are 70 or 80, that includes within them some people who will be centenarians, right? The level of galactin 3 in the centenarians in the blood is much lower than the level of the people who are 70 or 80, definitely.
Wow, so exciting. This really opens up so many possibilities of healing, of regenerating and detoxifying the body in a safe way. Just improving the quality of our life. Very profound, so profound, just
thank
amazing.
Thank you so much for your support and for allowing me to share my life work.
Well, we'll have you back and we can talk about more of the specific conditions that you've treated with your alopectrosol and reducing galactin free. I want people to really understand that this is a critical piece of the healing journey for so many people, for all of us, really, all of us at this point in time. So we'll do that. And until we have Isaac back, I want people to, first of all, get a copy of his book, which is The Survival Paradox. And you can go to the website, survivalparadox.com. And you can also visit Dr. Isaac Elias' website, which is Dr. D.R. Elias, D-R-E-L-I-A-Z, DrElias.org to learn more about, I would imagine, your work, your retreats, the programs that you're offering would be at your website. I just really want to thank you, Isaac, for the courage to follow your path in life, to be a pioneer, and to be able to really, truly make a difference in the lives of people all over the world.
Thank you for the support. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
I'm just so blessed, and we're also blessed to have you here and to be on the show and to share the great work you're doing. And I look forward to having you back, and we'll dive much more deeply into all the benefits for the many health challenges that people are facing. That'd be wonderful. So, again, thank you all for listening. We've had this profound conversation with Dr. Isaac Elias, and visit survivalparadox.com, pick up a copy of his amazing book, and you can go to his website, Dr. Elias, and that's ELIAZ.org to learn more about his work. So until next time, always honor the wisdom of your feminine self. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman. You've been listening to What Women Must Know, and I look forward to having you back for our next empowering conversation. Bye for now.